got that right.
Okay. So I went to, now we're done with Pesach, it's time to just move on to the next exciting events. You know, so I want to discuss the Sefirah Se'omer, just comment a few different points about Sefirah Se'omer. Next week there won't be class. I'll be away next week. So no class next week. I'll be at the yeshiva on a retreat. And then in 2 weeks, I promised you guys last year we'd finish the book of Rus, which we didn't finish last year. So in 2 weeks, in Rosh Hashem, we'll finish Rus. We have one more chapter to go in Rus. So that'll be the plan for 2 weeks from now.
So today's
Sefirat Omer. Next week, no class. In 2 weeks, we'll begin, or we'll complete, hopefully, Rus. We have one more parak to go. Okay. Sefirat Omer is a time which I always point out yearly. It's historically a very exciting time, a time of joy. It's been dampened based on our customs because of the death of Rabbi Akiva's students, and we use it as a time of mourning as well. But in its essence, the counting of the Omer is a very exciting and joyous time. It's the time where we're anticipating the receiving of the Torah on Shavuos. Pesach connects to Shavuos through Sefirat Omer. The Ramban even describes that you can view Sefirat Omer as like a Chol HaMoed type days between Pesach and Shavuos. So really it's one big yantif, one big holiday. It begins with Pesach, ends with Shavuos, and there's linking days in between called Sefirat Omer. That's how the Ramban describes it. So that shows us that Shavuos is not a freestanding holiday. Shavuos is linked inherently to Pesach. They go together. They're one period of the year and one holiday. So one thing I want to address right now is what's that connection? Why do we have to connect Pesach to Shavuos? And there's definitely many ways you can explain this. But we know Pesach is a holiday of freedom. Zman Chirusenu. And there's a lesson here which shows us that freedom is not a goal in and of itself. Freedom is a wonderful thing, but you want to utilize freedom for a purpose. Just to be free in order to do whatever is not the goal of Hashem freeing us from Mitzrayim. The goal of being free was that you could take that freedom and use it to serve Hashem properly. So freedom has to have a purpose. I mean, let's just take, for instance, I'm sure many can relate, when somebody retires, but they have no plan on what to do at all. So you have freedom, but give it a few weeks, you go crazy. You need to have some. Yeah. I'm sure everyone has. I know everyone here has schedules in their. Anyone who retired, I'm sure, has schedules in their days, what they do, things about the week. Well, obviously, come to Shurim, volunteer, time with kids, grandkids, people have part time jobs, people have this. Everyone has something they do because if you just have that freedom, nothing to do with it, that doesn't end up being a very productive way to live. Freedom was to enable us to accept the Torah at Har Sinai. Freedom was to enable us to accept our mission from Hashem. Without that freedom, we'd be stuck as slaves to Paro. We couldn't accept our mission. But freedom by itself doesn't really have a purpose if it's not used properly. So connecting Pesach to Shavuos, on one hand, is a culmination of the freedom of Pesach. That freedom is something that has to be utilized properly. If you don't utilize the freedom, then the freedom goes for nothingness. In America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we value our freedom very much, which we do. But just being free with nothing to do with that freedom does not lead to anything good. So we always want to take that freedom and then use our freedom to do the right things and to submit ourselves to a purpose. So that's one idea of Pesach being linked to Shavuos through Sefirat Omer. On a deeper level, there's a quote in Pirkei Avos that says, "Ein ben churen el mish osik b'talmud Torah." Nobody is free unless they're involved in Torah study. So there's a certain suggestion in Pirkei Avos, or an idea, a concept, that what makes someone truly free is not the fact that we're out of our shackles in Mitzrayim, but it's the ability to study Torah. Now, what does that mean exactly? I would say Pesach gives us physical freedom. Now, we were slaves to Paro. We had to work day in and day out in very, very difficult labors. And then we became physically free. But we're still bound in other ways. Even somebody who's free physically is not totally free. And we can be bound by our instincts. We're bound by our desires. We're bound by our bad midos. We're bound by our routines. We're bound by so many things in our habits that we have. And we can't break loose of them. Now we say we're free, but can we break loose of a bad habit that we have? Well, that's very difficult. So we're not so free. And we say we're free, but can we overcome an instinct that we have within us, which may not be a positive instinct? Well, we say we're free, but are we really free? We have to become free in a much bigger scale, in a much bigger level, beyond physical freedom. Now, you can ask the question, are animals really free? No, let's say an animal outside. There's an animal out in the forest, animal out in the jungle. Are they free? So on the one hand, nobody has put them in a cage. Nobody has put them on a leash. No, they're running around as free as they want to be, as free as the bird, as they say. They run around free. But the animals are acting on instincts. Animals don't make decisions. Shall I? Should I not? No, rarely do animals vary their actions. And we can predict the response of an animal almost, you know, exactly in every situation because animals work on instincts. If instinct says run, they run. If instinct says attack, they attack. If instinct says play dead, they play dead. But the animal does exactly what instincts tell it to do. So now we don't look as animals as having free choice because animals, even though nobody is coercing them into anything, they're programmed. You know, they're bound by the instincts that they have. They're bound by that which is their internal makeup, and therefore they're not so free. We don't call them free in that sense. The human being is really the same thing. Now, are we really free? You know, we're not really free either unless we choose to be free. We have to make those difficult decisions, overpower ourselves sometimes, and become free. I saw a quote recently. The quote was, you know, freedom is the right to choose the habits that bind you. So you're free than to be bound again. It was in a book of different things, which I guess are ironic or oxymoronic statements. So that was the quote. Freedom is the right to choose the habits that bind you. Meaning that's the human being, as free as the human being can be, that allows us just to be bound by our habits. The true human being, as the Torah describes, is someone who's able to break out of those habits and really choose what to do at every moment and not be bound by any sort of instinct or habit within. So we have to break out of this routine. So Pesach is an experience of physical freedom. The Pesach allows us, you know, when you are enslaved by somebody else, you have no freedom. So on Pesach, Hashem comes and saves us from actual slavery, from physical slavery. But we're not really free yet. Shavuos is part of that freedom. Shavuos is the day we got the Torah. And if we say, Ein ben chora, nobody is free unless they study Torah, that statement is telling us that the freedom of Pesach is incomplete until Shavuos arrives. So you have to connect Pesach to Shavuos through Sfiras HaOmer because it's all part of the same concept. It's all part of freedom. It's all about breaking ourselves out of the shackles that bind us. There's the physical freedom. But the Torah gives us the ability to become, you know, in a spiritual sense, free. Meaning that the Torah gives us the knowledge and gives us the strength to break out of this bondage, this other kind of bondage. Somebody who studies Torah, performs mitzvos, has to day in and day out overcome those instincts. Has to overcome themselves, has to break bad habits, has to break bad midos. Torah gives us the knowledge of what to do and how to do it, and then we're able to actually make those hard choices and break out of that bondage. But without the Torah, we can be physically free, but we're still going to be bound by society around and the instincts within and everything else that binds us on a daily basis. So the power of Torah, which goes along with Shavuos, is to help us become truly free beyond the physical freedom. So another link you have between Pesach and Shavuos through Sfiras HaOmer is this link of completing the freedom process, I would call it. You have to become physically free, but once you have that, you have to become spiritually free. So we have 2 points so far. Number one, we want to show that the freedom has a purpose. Freedom is not a value in and of its own right without using the freedom in some productive way. And number two, the freedom is incomplete until you've actually experienced Shavuos, whereas you receive the Torah and have the tool to break yourself free of everything else within yourself. Now you've broken the external bondage, but can you break the internal bondage? So those are two different connections between Pesach and Shavuos. But ultimately, it's a very, very, it should be an exciting time. The Sefer Chinuch describes that the Sfiras HaOmer is a time similar to a slave yearning for freedom. Because, you know, we're waiting for that moment. I can't wait to receive the Torah. It's so exciting. Those moments of standing at Har Sinai are just, I'm anticipating them with such a fervor that I'm counting up to it. I just can't wait till it happens. So that should be the feeling in the air during Sfiras HaOmer. Again, we have this custom to mourn during this time as well, which was a later custom historically, which kind of, you know, brings a little bit of a gloom upon our excitement. But deep down, it should be an exciting period, a happy period, a period where we're anticipating receiving the Torah and experiencing, you know, the true freedom and the ecstasy of encountering Hashem at Mount Sinai. So that's the broader picture of Sfiras HaOmer. I want to focus a little bit on a medrash that describes a finer point about Sfiras HaOmer. You know, very often, you know, we have our impression of different mitzvos, and then you look at a medrash, and it kind of gives us a different window on the mitzvah that we didn't have before. So there's a medrash, it's a medrash rabbah, it's a fairly well-known medrash, and that discusses Sfiras HaOmer, And it brings out a point which I want to discuss a little bit more at length, and it gives us a little bit more of a focus during this time of the year. The Torah describes the counting of the Omer. It says, Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos Tiyena. There should be 7 complete weeks. And then through that, you should count those 7 weeks and reach Shavuos. So the word Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos, the word Tmimos, we usually understand is complete. Halachically, that means they're supposed to count it. Well, the reason we count at night is because we're going to count complete days. You know, the Jewish day goes night to day. So if you wait till the morning to count, you've missed half the day already. If you count at night, you're counting the entire day. So there's an idea of counting the entire day, which means that that's the idea of Tmimos, you count complete days. Additionally, we know we're always careful not to begin Shavuos early because we want to complete those 7 weeks. They should be complete weeks. So you know, many times you can make an early Shabbos during the summer. Anytime you could, but we make it in the summer very often, early Shabbos. You can't make an early Shavuos because you have to complete the 7 complete weeks of Sfiras Omer. If you begin Shavuos early, you've then infringed upon the 7 weeks of Sfiras Omer. So it has to be complete. But the Medrash says another point. The Medrash takes the word Tmimos, the word complete, and it gives it a little different focus. It says, Emosai hein Tmimos. The Medrash says, when do we view these 7 weeks as complete or perfect? And it says, Bezman sheYisrael osin ratzono shemakom. During a time when the Jews are doing the ratzono shemakom, the will of God. So, it seems to be kind of obvious. I mean, we should always be doing the will of God. I mean, that implies all year long. What exactly is the Medrash trying to bring out by saying that these weeks are complete if we're doing the will of God? Now, seemingly, what it's doing is taking the word tmimos, complete or perfect, and applying the word not to the counting, but to the individual. The Medrash is saying that these 7 weeks are going to be complete when we're complete. That when we perfect ourselves, when we live 7 weeks of growth or perfection or completion in our own lives, that makes these weeks complete as well. We want to take this a little bit further. I mean, what exactly are we describing, and how does it really apply to these 7 weeks in particular? I mean, you always want to do God's will. That's Jewish life is we're trying to please God, trying to do God's will at all times. So why is it that these 7 weeks, the Medrash tells us, they are complete only when one does God's will? So I want to quote for you, what I'm about to describe is in a sefer called Halakach VeLibuv, which I actually quoted a few weeks ago as well. And he actually brings out 2 different approaches to this idea, which we'll try to put together. So there's a major contrast which is made, and you know, based on the wording over here. It says that we're doing Ritzono Shomakom, the will of God. Now if you think about it, the will of God is a phrase which it could have said the commands of God, or the obligations toward God. Meaning, when we say a mitzvah means a command, a commandment. It's an obligation, it's a duty. And the will of God, certainly a mitzvah is the will of God, but the term the will of God actually has a broader understanding. So the great Hasidic master, the Shem Mishmuel, he contrasts the idea of osei retzono, osei retzonecha, those who do God's will, to a phrase used about angels, osei devaro, those who do God's word. It says that angels, malachim, they're osei devaro, they do God's word, they follow God's word. We talk about the Jewish people as osei retzonecha, we do God's will. So how do you contrast performing God's word versus performing God's will? I mean, God's word we think is His will, and His will we get from His word. So how do those 2 things contrast? So the Shem Mishul explains the following. He says that the idea of a malach, an angel does exactly as he is told. No more, no less. They are beings which are created to be obedient to God. They're perfectly obedient. They do their duty. They do their bidding. And that's it. They're done. There's even a concept. Once an angel does his job, he just vanishes. He disappears. He's out of the world. Finished. No, angel's created for a purpose, does that purpose, and is gone. But they perfectly follow God's word to the T. The idea of following God's will is a little bit broader than that. And this is what's unique to human beings. We have the ability to dig down deeper and understand that beyond the command of God, there's a will of God behind that. Meaning that, we'll give an example. But the Rambam says they're always supposed to pursue not just the word of the Torah, but the intent of the Torah. So let's say, for instance, I come home to my house with some guests. So you know, I called on my kids, you know, please get a pitcher of water and some snacks for the guests. So the kids listen. They get the pitcher of water and they get the snacks on the table. But if a child or a person in the house has a little bit more intuition or understanding, They'll say, oh, guests are coming. Let me go get some nicer paper plates and nicer cups. Let me go and see if there's any nicer chocolates in the cabinet. Let me clean up quickly so we don't have to walk into a messy room. Because I understand that my will is not just that they should have a snack and a cup of water. My will is that there should be a nice presentation for the guests, as they understand. So they're picking up more on my ratzon, on my will, than just on my word. So the idea of a malach, an angel, just hears the words and follows the words. The idea of the Jew, we're supposed to pick up not just on the words, but on the will of God, and understand that there's a deeper will beyond the word of God. There's a very famous comment made by the Ramban, the Nachmanides, which is really so important for us to understand. You know, the Torah has 613 mitzvos, and each one can stand alone. It has to be performed. It's a duty we have upon us. But the Ramban says there's certain mitzvos that kind of give you, we'll call it an umbrella concept, you know, a broader will of God that goes beyond that. I mean, the Torah can't address every single action in life. It doesn't, at least not on the surface level. 613 mitzvos is a lot, but it doesn't speak to every situation in life directly. Sometimes you have to be able to just use a little bit of your common sense and extrapolate the will of God. So he says, for instance, when it comes to the world of monetary law, business law. So the Torah has lots of mitzvos that pertain to business law. And you go open up the Shulchan Aruch, and there's many, many halachas that help to decide what's right and what's wrong, and who's obligated to pay, who's not obligated to pay, how you deal with your workers and your boss, etc., and the land purchases. There's many, many halachas. But sometimes you'll get to a point where I can't find any halacha in the Shulchan Aruch that addresses my situation. It's, we'll call it a gray area. I don't know what to do. So the Torah says, V'yasisa yashar v'yatov. Do what is straight and good in the eyes of God. So that's it's a vague statement, but it's a very important statement, because it's saying that sometimes you don't know exactly what to do, but you get a feeling that, you know, this is probably right, and this kind of feels wrong. You get that feeling. Now, can you tell me anywhere in halacha, is there any Jewish law that says this is wrong or forbidden? Nowhere. Now, you went to the expert on Choshen Mishpat, on Jewish law, when it comes to business law. He says that there's no halacha that tells you can't do that. But deep down, you feel it's wrong. You know, you feel it's not honest. You feel it's not straight. It's not yashar. It's not the right thing to do. So the Ramban says that's why you have this umbrella mitzvah called Vasisi Yashar V'Atov. Do what's good and right in the eyes of God. If you could tell that even though there's no explicit black and white halacha that it's wrong, but it doesn't seem like it's yashar. It doesn't seem to be straight and right. Then don't do it. You shouldn't do it, because that's not Yashar V'Atov. Because all the mitzvahs that Hashem gave us in terms of monetary law, they weren't just to stand alone as points, you know, mutter, usser, allowed, you know, forbidden, you know, etc. That's not what it was for. It was in order to create kind of a framework in which we're supposed to act. And that framework is supposed to tell us, be an honest, upright, straight, genuine person. That's what it's showing us. The Ramban says further, you know, many times, you know, Shabbos is a lot of laws. 39 halachos you can't do, many, many rabbinic laws, a lot of things you can't do on Shabbos. But sometimes you get to something which halacha would allow, but it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like it fits the mood of Shabbos. Well, it's not Shabbistic, you know. There's no halacha, to my knowledge, that you can't stand in the living room and do jumping jacks for an hour. And you'll be sweaty, and you'll be exhausted, and you'll pass out on the couch. But it doesn't feel like it fits the mood of Shabbos. It just doesn't feel that. So there's a pasuk that says tishbos, you should rest. So beyond all the rules and all the laws and the malachos and everything you can find in regards to Shabbos, there's a general concept called tishbos. Shabbos should be a day of rest, and you should actually feel rested on Shabbos. And even though you can figure out in halacha that there might be areas that are gray areas that are not forbidden, and you can go ahead and do all sorts of things in those gray areas, if it doesn't seem to fit the mood of Shabbos, that's probably not the right thing to do. And that's the idea of tishbos. That's this concept. Furthermore, the Ramban has a famous comment. It says, Kedushim ti, you should be a holy person. So the Ramban says, what does it mean to be a holy person? He says, well, somebody can go out, for instance, you can buy a steak with the best hashkacha possible. You know, it has hashkacha stamped on the package. You have it cooked under the eye of the most watchful mashgiach in the most kosher oven you can find. You make a bracha on it. But then you start taking your hands and, you know, gobbling it up and smearing it all over the place. There's not a single halacha that would tell you that's forbidden to do. You know, it's totally kosher. You made your bracha. There's no reason. It's not a fast day. And it's, you know, you did it on Shabbos. It's a perfect time to eat the steak. But you ate it like a glutton. You know, you ate it like a pig. So the Ramban says there's something called a novel bershus Torah. You can be somebody who's a novel. You can be a disgusting person within the permission of the Torah. I mean, the Torah permits what you did, but you're a disgusting person. You know, you're a novel, as he calls it. That's not so. The mitzvah of kedoshim, be holy, says that when you look at all the mitzvahs, they're not just saying do all these random things. They're trying to create an image, sort of a framework for life. And that framework is supposed to have a much broader feel of I'm performing the will of God beyond just that I'm doing all these particular mitzvahs. So we have to do the particular mitzvahs. But certain situations where you say this doesn't seem right, how could the Torah allow this? So there is a certain area where the Torah says, you know, I'm not telling you it's forbidden, but use your seichel, use your mind and figure out this is not what God wants out of you right now. No, we can't imagine that God wants us to be doing that, even though we can't find a specific halacha say that it's wrong. So I like to call these kind of umbrella concepts. You know, they're much broader, you know, frameworks in which we're supposed to operate based on the mitzvahs in the Torah. So if you look at all the halachas and all the mitzvahs that are there, it's supposed to kind of express to us a much broader mood. This is the will of God, we'll call it. So there's the word of God. So the word of God was eat kosher food, make a bracha on it, you know, don't eat it on a fast day. That's the word of God. But the will of God will be don't act like a pig. No, act like a human being. That'd be the will of God. You know, you don't need a mitzvah in particular to tell you that. It's just if you look at the Torah is telling you act like a human being, be a holy person. And that's the idea of doing the will of God. So we always have to try to figure out, you know, beyond the specific commands, are we doing something that's pleasing to God or not? Are we doing the Ratzon Hashem? Are we doing the will of God? If we feel it's wrong, even there's no specific halacha, it's likely the wrong thing to do. Now, I often say to the guys in yeshiva, I'll tell them, not everything that's allowed is the right thing to do. You know, it might be mutter, it might be permitted, but who says it doesn't mean it's right? It's two separate things. If it's forbidden, it's wrong, but if it's allowed, it doesn't make it the right thing to do. You know, then again, there's wiggle room in those areas. But that has to be understood. Not everything which is allowed is right. These are two separate things. It's another concept. You know, there's a phrase in the sages say, Chavivin Divrei Sofrim. The words of the rabbis are very, very precious to Hashem. Chavivin Divrei Sofrim.
Sofrim.
The words of the Rabbanin, of the rabbis, are very, very precious and dear to Hashem. So one explanation of this is this point. That rabbinic law is where the rabbis understood the Torah is not just giving you specific laws to do or not do. The Torah has a framework in which we're supposed to function. And the rabbis saw, we want to take those laws and extend them because that's going to fit more into the ruach, the spirit of the word, the will of God, and beyond the word of God. So there's a certain preciousness and dearness to Hashem, the words of the rabbis, because Hashem understood the rabbis saw his will, and they tried to bring out the will of God beyond the word of God. So the Torah is giving us a picture, an outlook, a lifestyle that we should pick up on and extend. I would even venture to say that in every single morning, women are supposed to make the bracha, Shasani Kirtzono, God made me according to his will. And I think that that women have this intuition very often that, you know, men are very much to the, you know, they follow instructions. But women, I think, often can kind of see beyond the instructions and get the drift much more than men do. We call that Bina Yaseira. Women have this extra level of understanding. So when women say that God made me according to his will, I think you can say part of the meaning of that is that, you know, men are very good doing God's word, and the women excel in picking up on God's will. So God made me according to his will. And I think many women can testify to that, and men can testify to that as well. So those are the two different roles that we play, and everyone excels in their own way. We often discuss the idea of working on midos, our character during Sfiras Omer. And the whole world of midos is not really commanded in the Torah very clearly. We talk about, you know, we should be nice, and we should be honest, and we should have patience, and we should not get angry, and we should, all these different things. It's very hard to find explicit commands in the Torah for all these concepts. However, these are things which are certainly within the realm of God's will. You know, it's very clear that God wants us to be good, nice, honest, genuine people, patient, loving, caring, sympathetic, but it's very hard to find any specific command to do these things, because these all fall in the realm of osei ritzono, they're doing God's will versus just his word. So as we approach Shavuos, one very important thing to work on and take into account is that Shavuos is where God gave us the Torah. So we often look at Shavuos as a time of God giving us his commands, which is true. The big difference between the Jew prior to standing at Mount Sinai, and then the people afterwards, was that before we were at Mount Sinai, we were aware of many of the mitzvahs, but we had no obligations. They're all voluntary. We know that the avos and imaos, patriarchs and matriarchs, they did the mitzvahs, but it was on a voluntary basis. They weren't obligated. On Shavuos, when we stood at Mount Sinai, we got the Torah, and that obligated us in mitzvahs. Now we are obligated, so we have all these commandments. We have commands. However, we have to know that the idea is not just to follow the commands as they are. The idea is to draw out the will of God that comes from the commands. So it's a very important thing. Yeah?
Which is a higher level then? Doing the word or doing the will? I always thought angels were a much higher level, but if they're just doing the word versus doing the will, what is really the higher level?
That's a good question. I mean, it's actually a question discussed. Now, what's greater, a human being or an angel? And it seems the human being is greater than the angel because, number one, you know, we can take the will beyond the word. And number two, we have to perform God's will, you know, through challenges and choice. Angels are robotic. They just, they're programmed, they do it. So, no, we are on a higher level than angels in many, many ways. They may be holier as they are, but we can achieve much more, I guess how I'd put it. So as we approach Shavuos, we have to always understand that the will of God has to come out of the Word of God. Now, just to be clear, you know, we look at the Word of God as primary. So, for instance, I would say that, let's say the let's take a Reformed Jew. So they may very much trying to do the will of God, but they very often ignore the Word of God. So the Reformed Jew might say that, you know, Shabbos be day of rest, but I don't find it restful not to drive my car, so I'll drive my car to the park and I'll rest there. Right, so we understand they're trying to pick up on the will of God. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. If you want to observe Shabbos and have a restful day, that's the will of God. But then you're ignoring the word of God. And the word of God was, don't drive your car on Shabbos. So therefore, the word has to come. The will of God comes from the word of God, but not the other way around. And that's very important to understand. Just to go back to the analogy we gave before. So if I come home and I tell my kids, go get the water and the snacks for the guests. So all my kids do is sweep the floor, but they don't get the water or the snacks. So I'll say, it's very nice you swept the floor, but where's the water or the snacks? So therefore, the word has to come first, and then from that, you pick up on the will and extend that outwards. But you can't miss the command and just look at the will of God and think that you've done what God wants out of you. I remember one time, someone I knew told me that he was feeling very, very spiritual one Shabbos, and decided to go put on his tefillin and go on the roof and, like, you know, daven or something. So we don't put tefillin on Shabbos. That's forbidden to do. So he wanted to pick up, I guess, in the will of God. He wanted to feel spiritual and try to serve God in some way, but it wasn't the word of God. So that'd be the wrong thing to do. So that's one concept you find. So we say that these are some Sheva Shabbosos Temimos. These are seven complete weeks. And the Medrash says, when we're doing the will of God, so now we can say we're focusing on this concept of the will of God, that the preparation for Matan Torah, for receiving the Torah at Har Sinai, is not just to focus on commands, but to understand these commands are trying to paint for us a picture of life, trying to paint for us the idea of what it means to be a Jew is not just to follow the duties and commands of the Torah, but to follow the will of God as well. There's a seemingly somewhat, I guess, opposing concept, which I want to tie together, also brought out from this concept of Temimos, of these seven perfect weeks. And this we actually discussed a few months ago. There's a mitzvah called Tamim Tiyayim Hashem Lekecha. You should be complete or perfect with Hashem. And we discussed that in the context of there are many, many ways in the ancient world where they used to predict the future. They used to try to somehow divinate or get in contact with God or with the dead. And we discussed that's forbidden according to the Torah. And the Torah says you should be just simple, innocent with God. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry to do what you're supposed to do right now. Do what's right. And be simple. You know, don't look too deeply into things. Just follow the will of God in a very, very innocent and simple way. So there is a connotation of Temimos, not as we were saying before, of analyzing God's word and trying to draw out what does God want with such an intellectual approach, but rather just to don't ask questions, just follow God, do the right things according to the Torah, and don't be too complex and don't get too involved. Very simple. That's very, very simple. Now I don't want to call it naive is the wrong way to put it, but I mean just be simple. Don't try to read into things too much. Just do as you're told and finished. So that seems to be very much in opposition to what we said before. If doing the will of God means I had to figure out the will of God. I had to take the mitzvos, understand what's right and what's wrong, and not just do as I'm told, but really try to extrapolate and draw out from it something more. But also the idea of tamimos as tamim tihiyah, just being simple with God, means that no, just do as you're told. Don't ask too many questions. Don't draw things out too much. And that also is a concept of spheres omer, which I want to try to combine these two things in a second. Let's explain this one for a minute. The actual omer offering, we call it spheres omer because it began with the offering of the omer sacrifice on Pesach. The omer was brought from barley. It was a barley offering. Barley, classically in Torah thought, is animal food. It's animal fodder. That's what they used to feed the animals. And many Sfarim explain that it's symbolic of the fact that we begin like animals. And we have to work our way up to become human beings. But we begin as very animalistic people. Meaning, like we said before, you know, we're animals in the fact we follow our instincts. We're animals in the fact that, you know, we're selfish. And then we have to kind of break out of that and become human beings. So we begin like animals and work our way towards Matan Torah, towards Shavuos, where we become intelligent human beings who are able to make the right choices and break out of our animal traits. But on the other hand, an animal is something which doesn't analyze anything in any complex way. An animal follows its master's commands. It does as it's told. It's obedient. It's simple. That's the idea of a behema, which usually means a more domesticated or farm animal. It's a very, very simple being. When you put the animal and connect it to the plow and tell it to plow the field, it doesn't start questioning the farmer's intelligence. I don't think you should plow the field this way. Maybe you should plow it that way. You know, I'd rather go plow the blueberries instead of plowing the wheat. You know, this animals don't do that. Animals just, you know, they do as they're told. They're simple. They're obedient and finished. So on the one hand, we're supposed to figure out God's will and extend it beyond the word. On the other hand, we're supposed to act with tamimus, as we're calling it, like an animal, and just simply go ahead and do as we're told. So how do we reconcile these two things? It's actually, we say it at Shabbos Mincha, there's a pasuk we say, Adam Vehema Toshia Hashem, from Tehillim. It says a human being and the animal God should save. So that's in Tehillim Lamed Vav 36. And the Gemara says about that pasuk, the Gemara says, these are people who are clever like human beings, but they make themselves like animals. So Adam Vehema Toshia Hashem doesn't mean save animals and human beings. It means save the human beings that make themselves like animals. So it might sound negative, but also understood in a positive way. It can be understood that even though we are intelligent beings and we're focused on serving God, we make ourselves simplistic and just do as we're told. So that could be taken in a positive sense as well. So in the world of the human being, there's both of these different concepts. There's the, you know, we have our intelligence and we have our role that we're supposed to take God's word and we're supposed to make it extended outwards, understand His will and do the right things. But ultimately, my job is to do as I'm told. So let's how do these two things work together? So let's say, for instance, I don't really understand God's will. I don't feel it's right. You know, I looked at this mitzvah and it doesn't sit well with me, or I found a halacha and I don't like what it says. I find it to be difficult. I find it to be I feel it's inappropriate. I feel it's wrong. It doesn't fit with my own personal sense of things around me. So that's when I turn on my animal side and say, I do as I'm told. You know, I'm merely, you know, God's creature, and I do as I'm told. It's not my job to judge God's will. It's my job to perform God's will. That's how we have to view it. So if I don't, even though I don't think it's a good idea, the animal doesn't question the master's farming practices. The animal just goes ahead and it pulls the plow and finished. So we don't interject our own personal opinions or feelings into God's will. I think that's why these two things come together. So on the one hand, I always try to extend my service of God, my pleasing of God, to the best of my ability. But when I get to a point where I want to interject my own personal feelings or thoughts, which might go against that, if I want to say I disagree with this, or I want to say that I don't understand why God's will would be X or Y or Z, the answer at that point is, if it's truly God's will, okay, I say, I don't know. I just have to be simplistic and go and do as I'm told without asking too many questions. The Torah ultimately is not what I think it should be. The Torah is what it says. I mean, we always have to understand that it's not my job to judge the Torah. It's my job to understand what the Torah is telling me. That's my job. So the Omer is the time that takes us to Shavuos. Shavuos is when we receive the Torah. And to receive the Torah, you have to be prepared for what you're going to get. So we're going to get a lot of mitzvos. We're going to get a lot of laws. We're going to get a lot to do. And we have to train ourselves in two approaches. One approach we have to train ourselves in is to understand the mitzvos aren't just a list of 613 things just to do, but it's trying to create a certain image of a person, a lifestyle, an outlook on life. That's painting a picture. That's the idea of the will of God, Ratzon Hashem. And it trains us to take God's will and take it further. But we also have to understand that ultimately our job is to perform the mitzvot without questioning them. You know, we have to be obedient, we have to do the right things no matter what, even if we don't understand them, even if we have our own opinion on the matter, we say, no, my opinion doesn't matter because God said X. So at that point, we're trying to become tamimos, as in the idea of being simple, or like animals in the sense that we're going to just do as we're told, be obedient. There's a two-different approach to the Torah. So in this time of year, the goal of Sfiras HaOmer is to prepare us for receiving the Torah. That's the goal. And when this Medrash tells us the concept, these 7 weeks are only going to be complete when we're doing God's will, it really can encompass within it both points. It means that we're doing God's will, meaning that we are committed to God's will no matter what. That we are like the simple animal just doing as we're told. But it's also the idea of doing God's will, emphasizing the idea of will, that we're able to take the word of God and extend it much further. It's a concept, I think, that very often is missed. Many people, even in the Orthodox world, they very much stick to God's word, but they miss out on God's will. And it's very important that we understand that the word of God is the first step, but the goal is not the word, the goal is to get to the will of God. On the other hand, if we focus on the will and ignore the word, then we're not keeping to God's commands at all. And then that's not our obligation based on the Torah that we received at Mount Sinai. So those are both different. Both things have to come together as one. But this time of year, we're trying to focus on, number one, we do God's word no matter what. And number two, we take that word and we try to extend it to understanding God's will. Okay.